Wi-Fi sci-fi.
Wi-Fi sci-fi.
Wi-Fi sci-fi.
What is Wi-Fi sci-fi?
It's Girl in Space.
Tales of Sage and Savant.
The Ninth World Journal.
Oz 9.
Moon Base Theta. Out.
It's Girl in Space.
Wi-Fi sci-fi.
What is Wi-Fi sci-fi?
Find out at wifisci-fi.org.
Wi-Fi sci-fi.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and joining me on this podcast once again, Clarence Brown. Clarence, welcome back. How are you?
Doing well, man. And as always, happy to be on another episode of Discussing Comics. I feel privileged to be on the show.
Cool. Well, I feel privileged to have you back with us. So,
with the comic historians, as I call them.
Well, you know what? You're a certified Whovian. You're a certified Trekkie. Or is that Trekker? Which one am I supposed to say?
Pick your poison.
Okay. But you know what I will pick? I will pick a good time right now to say hello to another one of our co-hosts, Ron Stevens. Ron, how are you?
What's going on? What's happening, everybody? Now, if we're considered comic historians, I would have to say I'm more of a scribe. He would be more of the historian than I would be.
Oh, so you guys trying to say, because I'm the oldest one on this podcast, that I am the historian? Well, back there in my day, Superman only leaped the tall buildings. And a single bound, I'll tell you. But no, seriously, welcome back, guys. Glad to have you here. Everyone listening, guess what? We're glad to have you here. We want to thank you for spending some time with us. So I want to get right into it. We've got some news, and specifically on our news, Ron, you have recently attended, and I think this is for the third time, Fayetteville Comic-Con, right? Is the town you live in, or is it close?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
This is the town that I'm living in. And yes, it is my third year attending, and it's been a fun event this year. I didn't do all too much exploring around the floor, per se, like going to different vendors and stuff like that. But this year, I actually focused on attending a lot of panels. It was definitely interesting because we had a few pretty cool guests. I'm not sure if you're aware of the name of Colin Cantwell, who is, in my opinion, after listening up into his background, pretty ingenious concept designer. For starters, he designed a few things from 2001 Space Odyssey. He also helped out NASA as well to take pictures of Mars. But also, one that actually struck me the most, he also designed the X-Wing and the Death Star in Star Wars Episode 4.
Interesting.
Yes, yeah. Well, I was wondering why I didn't hear about this guy, but he only designed the X-Wing and Death Star for Episode 4, and that was it. And he stepped out from any further projects from that point on. But he was a genius in how he designed some of this stuff. I'm not sure if you guys heard of kit bashing.
Maybe, not sure.
Well, it's basically taking certain various pieces of stuff and make it into something else.
Ah.
Yeah, like just taking maybe a PVC pipe or a bottle cap of something and turning it into something else, this whole other collective of other stuff. But guy is really talented, very innovative artist. But he was definitely, I got a chance to actually talk with him after his panel and just get to thank him for designing pretty much part of my childhood of Star Wars, because Star Wars is basically, is so such a huge thing, but something that was such a small part that he had on kind of basically stayed with Star Wars for X amount of years, even to the new movies now.
So speaking of the new movies, I want to segue real quick. The trailer, the final trailer has come out, and I didn't have this in my notes, but since you brought up Star Wars, mm-hmm. I'm curious, have you guys, and I know this is probably a question I don't even really need to ask, so I'm just going to rephrase it and say, what did you think of the last Star Wars trailer? And Ryan, since I had pointed it to you, I'm going to point this one back to Clarence. Clarence, what did you think of the latest and final quote unquote trailer?
So the last trailer we got was, I felt it was very subdued, but I'm taking that as a good thing. I'm taking it that they're holding back all the juicy bits until we see the movie, because I just know there's going to be a few things that I heard rumors about that are supposed to be in a movie that we have no inkling of in the trailers yet. So I think they're holding back the good parts, the good bits. But man, I'm over the top about this movie, man. I can't wait for it to get here. What about you guys?
All right, Ron, what do you say?
I could tell there's going to be a lot of emotional moments in this movie, man. That's going to get me really hard. But yeah, like Clint said, I believe there's going to be a few moments that they're holding back for us until the movie actually comes out. But for the most part, what I saw, I mean, like, it's got me excited. I can't wait for December, man.
I have a feeling that this movie will impact me more than I probably think it will. And The more I think about the fact that, you know, Clarence, you've seen some of the toys that I have from, and Ron, I have some of the 1977 little action figures, back the original Kenner, from my parents buying them for me because I wanted them after seeing the movie. I have a feeling that what's going to really get me are two scenes, whatever the final scene for Princess Leia will be, and another character that looks like might be biting the proverbial dust, at least from the trailers, the way they've staged it. So if these two characters do, I mean, I know this is quote unquote the last movie, but I think that's going to like have an impact on me. So I'm really excited though to see this movie.
Yeah. And real quick, just some iconic stuff in that trailer along, which we know we're going to get more of it in the movie. Of course, we know Paps is going to be back, which is going to be freaking awesome. We got a freaking scene of Rey and Kylo in the third, the Return of Jedi Death Star throne room.
Oh, yes.
Which looked freaking fantastic. And yeah, I think they're going to tie in all of the movies very nicely. So again, just can't wait for it, man.
So did you notice that it looked like we might see Leia training?
Yes, it looks like Leia is going to be training Rey. That it looks like from the trailer, but who knows?
Who knows? But no. See, here's what I want to know. The name of this movie is The Rise of Skywalker. And I cannot help but wonder if the blasphemy that some of the things that fans did not like that Rian Johnson did in the second movie, if that's going to be undone. I know everybody's talking about that, but I can't help but wonder if they're going to, I don't know, just make fans happy. And fans need to be happy, in my opinion, because I want them to be happy. So there you go.
Yeah, I definitely think they can make another movie without undoing what was in the last one. But they're definitely going to leave you feeling fulfilled after this one.
Yeah, I think.
So speaking of feeling the feels, I have not yet felt this movie because I have not seen it. And Ron, I haven't talked to you, so I don't know if you have yet, but I remember you saying in the episode of Discussing Comics, not our last episode, but the episode before that, I believe, that you were thinking about seeing it probably because of being a podcaster. Clarence, I know you've seen it. So briefly, Ron, have you seen Joker yet?
Surprisingly, no, I have not seen it yet.
All right. So, Mr. Brown, just Reader's Digest condensed versions. Your two co-hosts here are slacking. What do you have to say to us?
Oh, man. I won't spoil it, but you pretty much know what the movie's going to be about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just think the ride of seeing this very troubled individual navigate the hardships of life is an interesting point of view. Now, I know we shouldn't sympathize with the villain, of course, but I do like the journey of the Joker that we see in this movie. And I won't go beyond that, but I think it's just a beautifully done movie is what I'll say. And cinematically shot well, and the Oscar winning performance by Joaquin Phoenix. And I just think you need to watch it.
Right. Impressive.
You might feel bad when you leave there, but it's going to be.
So let me ask you this. Did you go in with any expectations, and did the movie change those expectations?
I don't know if I went in with expectations, but like I just said, you kind of know what the movie is going to be
true,
about.
True.
It's like going in to watch Snakes on a Plane. You know what's going to happen. But you just got to be there for the ride. And hopefully it'll unfold in a way that'll keep you engaged and maybe even throw a few surprises at you along the way.
Mm, cool. So speaking of keeping us engaged, for everyone listening, our main content of this episode, we are talking series two so far to date of the Titans. Now, I believe we've got three episodes remaining in this season. So that being said, if you have not seen the Titans season two series, the second series in, if you've not seen it up through at least episode 9 or episode 10, put us on pause, go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward,
Spoilers.
All right, gentlemen, the spoiler warning has gone out. So my first question is, and I will point this one to you, Ryan, what do you think so far, summary view, have you been enjoying season two of the Titans?
For the most part, yeah, I have been enjoying it. Maybe one or two episodes are a little, but last episode I watched with Atonement was the last episode title was, but it definitely kept me interested and looking forward to see what's going to happen next after what happened.
Interesting. But there's
few moments the past couple episodes were just like, why is this happening? Like, what's this got to do with the whole spectrum of the show? But I don't know. Sometimes there was a few moments in other episodes that were just like, it just didn't really fit, basically.
Okay. So, Clarence, what about you? What do you think? What's your summary view so far?
I'm going to agree 100% with what Ron is saying. These episodes are up and down.
Yeah.
You get some fantastic character views, character development, and then the next episode will feel like Batman v Superman or something. It's just like a brooding, I'm probably getting ahead of myself, but to be in somebody's head, I'd hate that for in anything, and we get an episode of that in this series. So, man, it's just up and down. We get some fantastic stuff, and then we turn around the next episode, and it's like, what are you doing? But, God, what about you, man?
I'm going to like not break the chain and say I agree with what both of you just said, in the sense of some of this is different feel, different tone in every episode. But for some reason, I'm seeing an arc here, and I'm seeing tapestry, and I'm actually seeing a better narrative, in my opinion, in some ways, than in the first season. So my question then becomes to you guys, does this feel the same as it did to the first season? Because I'll go ahead and answer my own question. It feels different to me. And so I'm curious to what you guys say. So, Ron, what do you say? Does this feel different than the first season to you?
Yeah, it definitely feels different. After episode one, it kind of picks up. So season versus to season one, it drug a little bit, but now it's like we were saying, now it's getting closer towards the end, and it's now not all that consistent. Like we were saying, it's up and down. So yeah, I would say it's different. It's giving out a more broader look into the universe of this show, and it will seem more narrow mind or narrow visioned in season one. Now it's more broader. You're getting out. Okay, there's a possibility you might get Red Arrow or Speedy in upcoming episodes or next season. You get the whole history about Deathstroke and his hatred for Titans, and getting the whole story about how Jericho dies.
Okay.
Which I like that. But it's like I said, it's a whole lot broader than season one. Yeah.
All right. So Clarence, what about you? What do you think?
I don't know. As compared to season one, I feel like it's similar in some ways. We are getting these single episode titled character development shows where we're going to focus on one character and see his story, kind of their origin in a sense, which I really love that. And we're continuing that in this season. You know, I thought once we introduced Deathstroke that this just would be an over-the-top season. And anything that he's been in, I thought has been fantastic. But I just feel like we're wasting too much time brooding with Robin brooding, which I should call him Dick Grayson brooding for several episodes. And it just starts to get on my nerve, man. We have this episode titled Bruce Wayne, which I was over the moon about until I saw the episode. When it's not really about Bruce. It's about freaking Dick and his head.
His imaginary Bruce.
Yeah. And then we got Bruce Wayne, who I didn't like. Anyway, doing all this goofy stuff the whole episode. I don't know, man. It's just like felt like a miss to me. And again, like I said before, to me, like it seems like this season, even though on a whole, I think Deathstroke makes it better than season one. I kind of feel like it's more up and down than season one.
Okay. So here's my thought. I think this season is the journey of Dick Grayson losing or giving up the mantle of Robin. And this is his slow evolution into becoming Nightwing.
That you read the episode list, didn't you?
Say what now?
I said, did you read the episode list?
No, I really didn't. I swear. I promise.
Shut up.
but I really, so obviously then, you know, the old man is right here because, if you've read the episode, then you know that evidently Nightwing must be the name of an episode. This must be.
No.
Or either that or I'm just really freaking good one way or the other.
You are the historian out of all of this.
Speaking of the historian, there is something that I noticed about what they are doing in the story. I went back prepping for this episode this afternoon and looked up the first appearances of some of the characters. For instance, Jericho. And Jericho's first appearance was in 1984. Deathstroke's first appearance was in 1980, and he was in the second issue of the New Teen Titans. So they're introduced in the first issue, second issue, here comes Deathstroke. Then you've got Rose Wilson. She's introduced in 1992, so a little bit further down the line. And now we meet Blackfire in the latest episode, and she was in 1982, issue number 22. So my point in saying all of this is, looks like they are being quite true to some of the very first Teen Titans stories when this particular team came together. So that's kind of cool that they're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. They're staying very as true as possible as they can with the history of these characters and their backgrounds.
Let me ask you this. Has a particular episode stood out to you as the one you enjoyed the most this season? Ryan, what do you say? Is there a particular episode that you've liked the most?
I would say it was two, because it's really like a two-parter, and it was the story on how what happens to Jericho, basically learning about how Deathstroke kills Aqualad, and then Dick goes out to look for Jericho, tries to bring, you know, get information about his dad, ultimately bring him into the team as a Teen Titan when they find out he has powers, and then he ends up getting killed towards the end. Those two episodes, I think, were my favorite.
All right, Clarence, what about you? What did you, or is there a particular episode that has stood out to you as your favorite?
Yeah, I'm going to say two as well. It's going to be Deathstroke, mainly because for me, you know, we've kind of seen him throughout the first few episodes, but I don't know a whole lot about him. So I very much enjoyed getting this episode where we once again see the Titans pursuing him, then Robin going off on his own to pursue him. And we get a little bit more of him, which I really loved. And I like seeing the foul mouth Robin kind of go toe to toe with Deathstroke, which I thought that was really fun. Right after that, we get the Connor episode, which again is another character I don't know a lot about. And we get to see him battling with these warring halves, the Luther half and the Superman half. And he's trying to find himself. And we keep getting these awesome hints of him going back to his origins, but they kind of throw a curveball at us when we think he's going to the Kent house, but he's really going to the Luther house in Smallville. So I love that episode to pieces. And it also gave a nice bow ending to the Deathstroke episode where we see Robin falling and we see Connor actually save him. So I thought that was really freaking awesome. When I said Robin, Jason, Todd. So yeah, that was a really good two-parter, really good two-parter.
So I would say any episode, and I'm even going to go and back and say that there are two characters that I say any episode that they're in, I'm cool with. Number one, any character or any episode that has Donna Troy in it, I'm all on board. And number two, with the character not in the episode, I find that I miss her, and that is Starfire. I love this actress that is playing Starfire, and it's so cool to me that she has won over so many people, myself included, after she got such bad press when the first trailer and the first images came out. I am so glad that I love her as Starfire. But my favorite episode, though, would have to be the Connor episode for everything Clarence just said.
Mm-hmm. Not just ironically, like Starfire, like her story just does not. I don't gravitate to it at all. To me, it's kind of a waste because she's in this season, especially, she's not really with the rest of the crew. She's kind of out doing her own thing, and I don't particularly like that because I think she could be valuable to what they're trying to do. I mean, why can't they catch Deathstroke if they have her, you know?
Right.
They have Connor now. You mean they can't get together and catch Deathstroke? Yeah. So I don't like that she's out doing her whole thing. And her story just doesn't seem interesting to me for some reason.
I will say is I'm interested in it, but I don't think it really meshes all too well with this season. Reason because of it is so so isolated from everything else because she's really not with the team. Per se, yeah. She just drops in once or twice and she's off doing her own thing again. I would say I would like to see this, like, be her story be the next, you know, topic of next season. Yeah.
Yes, 100,000,000% agree with that. Yes, yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. Oh, and I know you're ready to move on, but freaking, I didn't think I liked Donna Troy, but I love her character. I love her character, man. And I don't know what it is about her. I think the way they show the lasso on screen is freaking awesome.
I don't see how they were going to pull that off because it was great in Wonder Woman, but it's very it's at the same level as it was in the movie as on the show.
100%.
And her lasso, now the original lasso that she had did not do anything, you know, like Diana's would do, but I think her second lasso that she got would compel people to do what she said instead of telling the truth like Diana's would. But I think they did a very good job picking this actress.
You know what? I'm not even worried about the lasso having people tell the truth. That's the least interesting thing.
It's just
about
the way
it
she uses it.
It's the way she uses it. Yes.
You just talked about Donna Troy. I'm not complaining about that. Absolutely not. That was cool. But what I do want to know is, and you kind of just segued perfectly into my next question. We've talked about episodes, but is there a particular character who has stood out to you? I mean, I've just said Donna and Starfire. So, Ron, what about you? Have you found or gravitated to a particular character this season?
I would have to say Deathstroke. And just looking at, I guess, his reason on why he hates the Titans so much, that definitely kind of gravitated me towards him. Granted, I know he's a villain and all, but it's definitely seeing him, because of him just basically becoming a product of war, and that's all he knew, it pretty much basically just cost his whole family, you know? So it's definitely an interesting character, and seeing how all he was trying to do is do the right thing and trying to provide for his family, but also trying to serve, I guess, quote unquote, his country, in a sense, knowing that what he was doing wasn't all too good, but as long as it was paying the bills, I guess you could say, then he wasn't really all complaining until it his work actually affected his life, almost took his son away. It definitely rocked his world. And then he being himself, being the one to take away his own son, it definitely messes up with you in a way. It's just definitely a interesting character in how they shine upon, how they brought it up onto the screen.
All right, cool. So, Clarence, what about you? Has there been a particular standout character for you this season?
In addition to Superboy and Wonder Girl, who both I thought were great, this is one of the characters I hated the most the first season, and that's Jason Todd. I just love the fact that in all his bravado, this one situation where he's almost – and certainly going to die if it had not been for Connor. It gives him this sort of post-traumatic stress, and he is grappling with that. You know, I'm okay with seeing that on screen because we saw what caused him to descend, no pun intended, happened to him on screen. So I was there with him, so I feel that pain as well. And he's struggling trying to be his normal bad boy self through all of this. And I love seeing him go through that for some reason. I know that's kind of sad to say, but I love seeing him humbled a little bit. So he's my favorite for this season so far.
Clarence, you just reminded me of something that has been bugging me about this whole season, at least for a couple of days after watching it. During the episode where he was dealing with his PTSD about almost dying, it seemed like everybody was still against him or trying to go after him.
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? Like, the man is like, he's traumatized from almost dying. Like, people were like attacking him because they thought that he was pranking them. Like, he's been in his room the whole entire time. Like, how?
Yeah.
It was just so weird. Like, how, like, it didn't make any sense how the way they were being pranked. He had to order to know some of the things that the way he's been pranking everybody. He has no recollections of any of these things, but yet he is the target of being the prankster. I never understood that.
Yeah. Well, sometimes like his character is so different and he kind of never changes. And I can definitely see people maybe saying, oh, this guy's so hard, and then he has to be playing. We never see any sign of sympathy or anything from this guy, but all of a sudden he's a softie. But he was definitely innocent. But I do love how he kind of gravitated toward Rose during that time. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah.
So speaking of, what do you guys think of Rose?
She can come back from the dead.
Yeah. I don't know. This Rose character it's not really all that appealing to me, I guess. I mean, she seems pretty, should be an interesting character. You should be drawn to her, but I don't think they haven't really utilized her in a way for you to be drawn by her, I guess, in a sense. You still have this mysterious shroud over her, so you don't know anything about her still.
I'm usually inclined to like characters named Rose. That being said, I think the fact that I did and do not like Rose Wilson in the comic, or never really cared for her one way or the other, I don't really care for the character one way or the other, but I will say that the actress does a good job because she makes me less dislike. Or not, I don't even want to say so far as dislike. I just never cared about her one way or the other.
Right.
But the actress does do a good job.
Okay.
I don't think we get as good of a backstory from her. We kind of just come into her story as she's running and kind of in the thick of it.
Right.
So I think she's the first one where we don't really get a true backstory. So maybe we will get that. I don't know. But I mean, already I like Jericho better than her. So,
because she wasn't really, I was thinking, like, when they were telling the past, or talking, when they were delving in the past, you would see her in one of those episodes, but you didn't. So it's like, if this is Jericho's sister, then shouldn't she be, in the house? She wasn't there. So I was trying to figure out, like, how are they, like, where was she? If they are brothers and sisters. So that kind of
thing. The same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will say that I do like how they portrayed Jericho in this series as opposed to keeping it traditional with the comics, because I'm telling you, in the comics, I don't know why, but the way this character was drawn with the weird looking eyes and the blonde curly hair, and there was something about him that creeped me out. This portrayal does not creep me out, but the comic version creeped me out originally.
though I think there is a huge plot hole in this series, in his episode particularly.
Do tell.
He gets his neck gets slashed, but he has this power to do a Brandon Stark and warg into somebody else, but he doesn't do it when he's about to get his neck slashed. Doesn't that seem like a plot hole?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's such a quick... I see what you're saying. Why didn't he just jump into his body?
For some reason, and I may be wrong here, but he may have to make eye contact to make the
assessment. Does he?
I think he does. They did explain in an episode. But surely, surely the dude looked at him. I mean,
come on. At some point.
And one thing that's different about the way they portrayed his powers was originally... he became incorporeal and literally became like a ghost and merged with the person, not catatonic and taking over the person, but he literally just, like I said, ghosted into the person.
Right. So,
and maybe that was another thing that I found creepy, is you literally are taking over this person by putting your essence in them. So, well, what did you guys think of the way they have portrayed Dr. Light? Arthur Light. Clarence, what did you think?
Forgettable. I don't really care one way or the other. He was unforgettable to me. What about you guys?
I'd say forgettable too.
Yeah. The thing is, my memory of Dr. Light is from the animated series back in 2005. He was more like that low level like character, that street level type character anyway. So, yeah, forgettable.
So every time I see Dr. Light, I cannot help but think of the series Identity Crisis. Have either of you read Identity Crisis?
No, I haven't.
Okay. I won't spoil Identity Crisis for you. It is not a universe-shattering story, but it does explain why Dr. Light is a low-level, idiotic street level villain as opposed to some maniacal evil villain to take that you should consider or whatever.
Okay.
So it does explain that. And after we finish recording, I'll tell you if you want to know what they did. So that being said, gentlemen, question for you, and you know, kind of wrapping up because we don't have the finale yet, so we can't say what's going to happen. So I want to know before I have one other question for you, something that I'll always ask on Discussing Who, but I don't always ask here, so I'm going to ask it tonight. Is there anything else that you guys had written down about these episodes that we have not covered? And if so, what? So Clarence Brown, let's start with you.
Man, I don't think I really have anything. I thought Crypto was awesome.
Oh, yes. Agree. Agree.
I want to get more, and I'm sure we will, of what's going on with Raven.
Okay.
We've had glimpses of her, but kind of coming unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the last we see of her, she runs from Donna Troy. So I'm interested to see what they do with her. I mean, being such an important part of, again, another person with guy-like powers, it seems like she can defeat Deathstroke. You know? Yeah, I want to see what they do with her this season. Any other tidbits or anything? I don't know. I'm just anxious to see where they're going and quit this brooding stuff with Dick Grayson.
Yeah, all right. Get him on. Just move him as Nightwing. Yeah.
All right. So, Ryan, what about you? Any other thing that you had written down that we haven't spoke about?
I will like to see this. Yeah, I'd like to see what they're going to do with Raven. That, and also with Starfire as well. I like to see where this is going, if they're going to intertwine her story with the show or allow her to, because you remember before that she was, you know, trying to relate with Raven about her powers becoming unhinged. She said herself that her powers were same way, but she has like this inhibitor or bracelet or necklace on her that keeps her from losing control of her powers. Wanting to see if that's, I mean, if they're going to get into that, whether it be in this, you know, towards the end of the season or, you know, going to the next season. But I'm still wanting more out of this show, see what else was going to happen.
You guys kind of answered my final question, which was what's your prediction for the finale? So I want to ask a different question. If you were to see another DC show that's not on the slate yet, if there was something that you know that is comic book or something that you've seen that's DC Universe related, what's a show that you would like to see on DC Universe? Clarence, any thought?
Oh, God, I'll let you guys go first. I got to think about this one.
Well, I'm going to say this, that I am a displeased DC Universe subscriber.
Okay.
As of right now. And basically, from recent news, I'm becoming even more bitter about being a subscriber for DC Universe. And hearing about there being a Green Lantern series and also an Adam Strange series coming out soon, but not on DC Universe, but on HBO's new streaming service,
Max.
I'm finding it very hard to actually keep this subscription when you've already canceled. To me, I think your best show was Swamp Thing, and you canceled it within mid-production, and you only got 10 episodes out of that, which was still good, but we never know what's going to happen out because they botched it. Titans has gotten, like we said in the beginning, it's up and down. Doom Patrol is up for another second season. It kind of lost me. I did not finish Doom Patrol. It had one episode that was really good, and then the next episode is just didn't have nothing to do with it. But DC Universe needs to make shows that, you know, that's going to attract more subscribers, and right now they're not doing that.
In fact, Ron went to where I was ultimately going with my question, which was, do we see DC Universe long term, or do we think that DC Universe, despite what they're saying, will at the launch of HBO Max merge with the new Warner Media? Wait. Is it Warner Media or is it HBO Max?
I think it's HBO Max. I also heard that Doom Patrol is moving towards HBO Max as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is that I think about when I think of all these DC shows being on various platforms, it may be time for them to follow what Marvel is doing. Marvel is reining their properties in mm-hmm. as much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And DC is kind of everywhere, which has been good for us so far. But looking forward, it might be time to sort of rein some of this stuff in.
Yeah, bring it home. Because that's what I thought what DC Universe was going to be about. But if I can watch, if you can bring in, you know, Watchmen on, that's great. But if I can watch it on Netflix or Hulu,
yeah,
what's the point?
DC, okay. Some of the universe.
or
at the very least, be able to bring in all their CW properties, bring them to at least be shown on DC Universe as well. You know, let them live on both.
Right. They're too inclusive in a sense. They're not all that exclusive, I would say, with their stuff.
So here's what I think's going to happen. And I'm going to make this prediction now, and they will ultimately be right in saying, oh, no, DC Universe is not going away. But here's what's going to happen. And I guarantee you when either HBO Max or so tell me, is Warner Media and HBO Max, is that the same thing? Or is that two different streaming services that they're coming
out? I believe there are two different streams. Yeah.
So whether it's HBO Max or it's the Warner Media streaming service, I have a prediction that all of the video content will go to one of those services, and DC Unlimited, or DC Universe, excuse me, will become something similar to Marvel Unlimited, digital only comic book repository. And so you'll have DC Universe, which will be their comic books, just like Marvel Unlimited, and all their videos will be moved out into put into some other platform. That's my prediction.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
It does.
Because what I do like about what Marvel has done is I love the fact that I can go to that app, launch the app for $9.99 plus tax a month. I sit down and I have 25,000 plus titles. Bad thing about DC Universe is they don't put the titles out as quickly and as many as does Marvel. So they need to catch up. So that's what I'm saying. So gentlemen, since we've got more episodes to go, I won't go any further and give us a rating. So Clarence, let me ask you one other thing. Anything else you want to bring up before we do our where else can you find on the internet?
I will just go back real quick to the episodes we've talked about and said it is absolutely dumb that they're blaming Dick Grayson for using Jericho when all of them stood around and they didn't say anything against it. Or they didn't speak as loudly enough to make him stop. They just kind of went along with it. So they knew they were doing wrong and they want to blame him. So anyway, where you can find me, just check me out on Facebook by going to the Discussing Network Facebook group, where we post articles on comics, Doctor Who, etc. And just check it out. Check us out there. Drop us a line. Become part of the community.
Awesome. Awesome. So, Ron, what about you?
Well, you guys can catch me on Extremely Geeked Out Podcast, which is on everywhere, on any kind of platform. Just hook me up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and just give me a holler, man. And also, coming up, season finale for season two of my podcast is coming up soon. So be ready for that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, people can always find me on discussingwho.com along with Clarence and our other co-host, Lee Shackelford. And you can find us at discussingwho.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Let us know what you think about season two of The Titans. Did you agree with us? Did you not? Let us know. And also come back for more, because guess what? We will be back next time.
You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.